As you know, we are all eager for a vaccine for COVID-19. And now there's a third one that's being discussed. This one by Oxford University and AstraZeneca follows recent announcements by Pfizer and Moderna in the United States that they have two vaccines for approval as well. Professor Teresa Lambe is an immunologist with Oxford University. She was asked what sets her vaccine apart from the other two that have been developed in the U.S.
So first and foremost, I think we're going to need more than one vaccine. I think we're probably going to need more than three vaccines. So this has really got to be a collaborative worldwide approach to getting enough vaccine to be able to make an impact in all the countries that need it. We have partnered with AstraZeneca and other partners worldwide, and we are committed to generating 3 billion doses next year. We're also committed to getting these doses to people that need them in low to middle income countries.
Your vaccine doesn't need to be kept at sub-zero temperatures, whereas the other two do. How significant is that in terms of being able to distribute it, move it around and store it?
So vaccines that don't need extensive cold chain storage are relatively easier to distribute worldwide. Pharmacies and doctors' surgeries are used to working with and have systems already established for vaccines that can be refrigerated. So it does make the logistics of getting vaccines globally and within the UK as well easier.
And there's been plenty of talk, hasn't there, for months now about whether less wealthy countries will be at a disadvantage when it comes to getting hold of a coronavirus vaccine. How easy will it be for developing countries to get this vaccine, your vaccine?
One of the main reasons we partnered with AstraZeneca was an alignment of ideology around getting vaccines where they're needed, when they're needed. So AstraZeneca is committed to making no profit during the pandemic and provide the vaccine to low to middle income countries at cost.
And it still needs regulatory approval, of course, as do all of these vaccines we've heard about. How high a hurdle do you think that's now going to be? There's talk that your vaccine could be available next month.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So we are providing all the necessary documentation that we have to our partners, AstraZeneca, so that they can file the regulatory documentation and that is necessary. And we've already started a rolling application to the MHRA and other. But we are reliant on our partners here to help us with this process because we're obviously an academic institution.
At the same time, though, others are warning that we shouldn't allow these announcements of the development of vaccines to lull us into letting our guard down. Dr. David Navarro of the World Health Organization.
Congratulations to all involved, the scientists, the volunteers, 50,000 of them. Great. But there is still work to be done to take all the data, and there's more data to come in, to the regulators so they can decide whether they're okay to give an emergency use authorization for the UK.
And British Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
We can hear the drumming hooves of the cavalry coming over the brow of the hill, but they're not here yet. Even if all three vaccines are approved, even if the production timetables are met, and vaccines notoriously fall behind in their production timetables, it will be months before we can be sure that we've inoculated everyone that needs a vaccine. And those months will be hard, they will be cold, they include January and February when the NHS is under its greatest pressure. And that is why when we come out of lockdown next week, we must not just throw away the gains we've all made. It is the season to be jolly, but it is also the season to be jolly careful.
This has been Sagicor's Early Business.